Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
This hour is sponsored by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Affordable implants, life-changing smiles. This is Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score, and we are awaiting Jed Hoyer's end-of-season press conference. It is brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. The audio is provided by our friends at Marquee Sports Network. So he is being expected to come up to the podium in just moments as we try to see what he has to say after the Cubs ending their season in the NLDS, falling in 5 games to the Milwaukee Brewers.
And we talked a little bit about what we do want to hear, what we don't want to hear. I am just thankful and grateful that we get a chance to hear a guy who's been pretty open to speaking about what's going on with his team throughout his tenure with the Cubs.
Yeah, that's the one thing I can count on is Jed's going to tell you at least what he can. And he makes himself available, and he does so on a regular basis, and really, I think it sets the tone for other general managers in this town, or should.
And you wonder how freely he will be speaking, given the fact that he now has a contract himself, and now he's talking about other people's contract situations.
Yeah, that's a big part of this, is that was announced around the trade deadline, and we wanted to know what his status was. I figured it would happen at some point. Theo Epstein, if you'll recall, he got extended during the season. I believe that was in 2017 when that happened. So I can't say I'm surprised that was the case again this time around.
Some of the things we know he'll be asked about, Kyle Tucker.
Interesting. So you say Kyle Tucker might be a discussion point.
I mean, that's going to be the biggest question, as it has been kind of looming over him all season long since he decided to make the trade and get rid of a guy who, by the way, was nominated for a Gold Glove in Cam Smith in right field.
Yeah, that's something, isn't it? Like, that doesn't happen very often for a rookie like that, but that was the case. Gold Glove nominations are out. If you missed that news earlier, we went over it with Ian Happ because he was one of the nominees. The Cubs have 6-7, depending on whether or not you count Carlos Santana as part of that. He was nominated for American League First Baseman. And then Matthew Boyd, Carson Kelly, Nico Hoerner, Matt Shaw, Ian Happ, and Pete Crow Armstrong were all in that group. Happ was pretty reactive when he heard that they had 6 total. Do we count Carlos Santana? What's our ruling there?
I don't think so, because he was with another team in another league for the majority, almost all of the season.
Why you got to bring facts into this conversation?
It's pesky, but I do it sometimes. So if it's Nico Hoerner, that would be his second. If it's Ian Happ, that would be his 4th straight.
Now we understand Jed is coming up to the podium. This is brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers.
Exactly. I appreciate it.
Morning, everyone. Thanks for joining us. We will take questions for Jed. So we have 2 microphones on either side. If anyone has a question, just raise their hand and we'll get you a microphone and go from there. It looks like Bruce is the first one.
Looking at your season, would you call it a success? Many people always say it's not a success unless we're the last team standing. How would you sum it up?
Yeah, I mean, I think my emotion today has been disappointment. I think that you spend time thinking about plays and pitches and at-bats, and I think that whenever you get into the playoffs and you start moving forward and you have elimination games, I think that's the kind of the natural emotion, is to think about the last thing that happened, and obviously that was disappointing, and so we didn't reach all of our goals. I think when I think back on 2025, as I get away from it, I think my biggest emotion will be like pride. Honestly, I think I'm really proud of this team. I think that, you know, kind of from day one, they were really consistent. I think the effort of the players was amazingly consistent. The way they treated each other was really consistent. I thought our coaching staff was remarkable all year, not just in preparing our guys, but also just finding edges all the time, like constantly being hungry to find edges to beat our opponents. I thought this group connected incredibly well with a fan base from day one, not just in the postseason, which was amazing to be here, but also all season. I think the crowds were great in this because this group and the fan base really connected. And I'm proud of the organization. I think we have a real foundation to keep building from. So, you know, obviously I'm disappointed now. I think it'd be impossible to, you know, play that elimination game and you know how close the margins are. It'd be impossible to not have disappointment from kind of falling short of the ultimate goal. But I am really proud of this group and proud of our season.
Go ahead, John.
Jed, when you're looking over, you know, the playoffs and everything that happened, did you find yourself thinking about maybe second guess? You've done this a long time, but second guessing yourself on moves you didn't make, holes you didn't fill, like places you know you could have maybe made certain parts of the team stronger. Does that kind of stuff cross your mind during that?
I think you always. I mean, I think if you do this job and do it well, I think you're constantly thinking about what else you could do, and that's natural. But I do feel like when I think back on the most obvious thing that people talk about when we were starting pitching at the trade deadline, and honestly, like, I haven't really thought about that much since early August because I know what the market was. I know how tight the starting pitching market was. I know to acquire players I thought could impact a pennant race, it would have cost us players that impacted our second half in a big way on the team. And so certainly there's moves going back years that you think about in terms of how you can continue to get better. And I think that, you know, my job is to just keep getting better at this job every single year. So, of course, I think about that. But when it comes to the trade deadline, I don't, just because I know that what the market was and I know what the prices were. And I also know that other teams weren't able to acquire that kind of pitching talent either.
Just kind of off that, what do you think needs to happen in this offseason to obviously not only get back to the playoffs, but to make a deeper run?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that, you know, the first part, I think that, you know, we won 92 games in pretty convincing fashion. I think we were fifth in baseball in run scoring and they were seventh in runs allowed. And so I think if we can continue to do that, I think that we'll be in good shape to move forward and get to the second part of the season. And then obviously, you know, like I said, the margins are really close in the postseason, and we just have to continue to strengthen our roster in different areas to withstand that. But, you know, I think that's probably the biggest takeaway for me was that, you know, for the marathon part of the season, I thought we were a really good team in a really good position. And obviously at the end, I think, you know, with some injuries and this the nature of the series we played, I think that there was probably some depth that we could have used on the pitching staff. And I think that's an area that we'll always continue to try to focus on.
On that, just knowing how the trade deadline played out, does that underline at all when you're looking at, like, marquee starting pitching and, like, that type of depth, how important it is to get that done in the off season as opposed to waiting?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's honestly, it's the draft, it's the off season, it's thinking about all the different ways to do that because it is really difficult to do that mid-season now, and I think it's becoming even more difficult with the new playoff format to do that. There's fewer teams are kind of closer together. There's fewer sellers. There's many more teams in the race that have a chance, and then even some teams that weren't in the race made decisions to not trade. So I think that's a fair thing to, you know, as we think about what's changed in the game, I do think that's become more difficult, and I do think it puts more emphasis on all other areas of the cycle, and how do you just continue to add depth and add arms. And I think that's I don't think that's unique to the Cubs. I think when you watch this postseason and look at, you know, different teams, I think that everyone is focused on that because the game has changed. With kind of one team exception, you're not having a lot of guys going deep in games. You're using a ton of arms, and the early rounds of the postseason involve, for everyone, almost a lot of bullpenning and things like that. So yeah, it puts a lot more emphasis on pitching depth than ever before, and it's something we have to And we, I think we did a good job of that this year in a lot of ways, but I think we have to continue to push to get better.
Jed, what do you make of the offense this year? I mean, it started out so hot, kind of had a little bit dip in the second half, especially some guys individually. But then what do you make kind of what the lineup was able to do in the playoffs and maybe some of the struggles with runners in scoring position as well?
So I think the totality of what our offense did, I think, was exceptional. We were fifth in baseball in run scoring in a difficult home offensive environment. So I think our offense overall was terrific. I don't know if we have any control over the shape of how that happens, to be honest with you. Last year, we sat here and we had a great second half offensively. You know, I think some of that stuff is random when guys are hot and when they're not. And I think that, you know, if you look at, you know, the totality, we had a really excellent offensive team. Now, we did have some struggles in the second half, and those struggles were just, you know, simply the, you know, we had a collection of players in the first half at the same time that were playing exceptionally well, and then some of those same players were struggling in the second half. I think in the postseason, you know, I think we're like fourth or fifth in OPS and offensive production for the postseason, for the teams that are in the postseason. You know, we did struggle with runner scoring position. I don't think that's indicative of anything, if I'm being honest. I think that's it's eight baseball games, and I think it's against, you know, two of the best pitching staffs in baseball. You're not getting the matchups you're gonna normally get during the season, and, you know, because of the nature of the postseason. So I think drawing big conclusions based on eight games against really good teams, I think, is probably not the best conclusion to draw. I think for the totality of our season, we had a really good offense, and that's what I'll focus on.
What is Steve?
This segment is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. You're listening to the Jed Hoyer end of season press conference.
This, I think, guiding principle about essentially like a 90 win threshold. You know, stay in that range. You're generally going to get into the playoffs, and that's the goal. But when you go 4-1 at home and 0-3 on the road in the playoffs, you rethink that at all? Like, maybe we need to turn it up one notch to try to emphasize the division.
You know, losing the division put us at a disadvantage in that regard. You know, I think that we had to go up there on short rest in that first game, and I think that hurt us. And so I think that, you know, the Brewers got that advantage by winning. You know, I think I understand your question. I do think that. You know, I think it's focusing on building consistently good teams, making consistently good decisions, I think will lead to the right place. I think that, like I said, I think overly focusing on, you know, what just happened in eight games, I think it can be really difficult. I think you can draw potentially some good conclusions, but I also think you can make some real mistakes by emphasizing that recency.
Jordan, right here.
Jed, you made the aggressive move to get Kyle Tucker last winter, and you knew it could be a one-year arrangement. Just how are you currently kind of thinking through the different layers to that situation, just with some of the young guys you have right there and just the roster construction?
Yeah, I do think when we were at our best, Kyle was as best, and vice versa. You know, there's no question he had a huge impact on this team. Obviously, he had dealt with some injuries and struggled a bit in the second half, but I think we take the totality of the season. He had a huge impact, as we hoped he would. Obviously now we're sort of into free agency, and we'll be talking to Casey, and we'll be having those conversations. And so, I mean, like I said a bunch of times during the season, like, everyone can use a guy like Kyle Tucker. Everyone gets better by having a player like that, and we'll certainly be having those conversations.
What up, Bruce? Thanks.
I guess this is a two-parter. Number one is, after 2 years of Wrigley Field playing the way it is, does it give you pause in the front office as to what type of player can be most successful here, if indeed the trend continues where crosswinds and the winds blowing in are dominant? The second part of that question is, if that is the case, can you win with multiple types of of Nico Horner players. Certainly they did up north. So kind of two-part question there.
Yeah, I mean, the ballpark thing to me, I don't really understand that the focus on the ballpark. I think I've been here for 14 years. It's been a mix of seasons, honestly. In 2023, it was one of the best hitting ballparks in baseball. The last 2 years, it happens to have blown in. I don't think anything has changed dramatically that will lead us now to having this happen over and over. So I think we're dealing with randomness, number one. Number two is a lot of players put up great numbers. Michael Bush had 38 homers if you include the postseason, and Pete went 30-30, and Seiya went 30-100, and I just think you can put up really good numbers here. The idea that somehow Wrigley Field is a hitter's nightmare, I just find that to be, for 2 years in a row, the wind blew in a little bit. But the idea that free agents aren't going to play here or hitters aren't going to come here, I can't imagine a better place to play. So that's something I just kind of reject outright, and I think that it's, like I said, I think there's some randomness we're dealing with here. That said, and I've always said this, like, I think the fact that Wrigley can play so differently, it just means you have to have really good players. There's not a type of player that you can build. Like, you don't want to go out and get a bunch of fly ball hitters because you have a year where the wind blows out. You don't want to go out and overemphasize, guys hit the ball on the ground and, don't have any power because it blows in. I just think we need, we have to be a little bit of a Swiss Army knife of an offense because we don't know what our environment is night to night. And that's every year. I mean, like, there'll be years where it blows in more and years where it blows out more. But the fact of the matter is we don't know day to day what it's going to be like. So I think we have to embrace it. We have to have players that can beat you in a lot of different ways. And I think we have that right now.
The one caveat is Tucker's numbers here at Wrigley Field this year. They're down the road pretty significant.
I don't know. I think that, Michael Bush is a left-handed hitter, and he hit a ton of homers. This year Pete hit a lot of homers at home. I don't think that there are definitely players in the individual year that can happen. I think Cody had great numbers at Wrigley in 2023, and he struggled in 2024. So the fact that a left-handed hitter struggled in a given year here isn't indicative that left-handed hitters can't perform here, because I think we watched Michael Bush perform exceptionally well here and Pete perform well. And I just think sometimes it's kind of random. I think sometimes home roads, they're not always environmental. I think sometimes it's just something that happens.
Go to Betty next.
Jed, you've talked about having kind of clean books past 26 as being nice and a lot of flexibility, but also means you have to have contingency plans to bring in those players. Do you expect to have extension talks with some of those guys, and what does kind of laying the foundation for that reality look like right now?
Yeah, I think my hope and expectation is that we'll have extension talks with a number of our players this offseason. My hope and expectation is that you never find out about it. That's kind of what I would say. But yes, I think that we have a number of players that we'd love to sort of keep long term, and we'll have those conversations. And like using the Pete example, I'd love if those don't get out, I think that we have clean books going forward. We have good players, and we'll have those conversations.
You mentioned obviously the importance and value of starting pitching. Schoedt has obviously been a big part of that the last 2 years. He obviously has a very interesting contract situation with the multi-year club option. Do you consider that a no-brainer situation with that option, or were there things that you saw this season that requires some more thought and consideration?
Yeah, I mean, I think when we signed Schoedt, he was sort of shown us his production over the last 2 years. He would have taken that in a heartbeat. So not only has he produced for us, but he's just a great teammate, terrific asset to the organization. Obviously we have decisions to make and we have discussions to make, and we over the next 2 or 3 weeks we'll do that. But I've got nothing but positive things to say about Schoedt.
Jesse and then Patrick.
Jed over here. Hi. Two questions actually. Do you see Owen, Casey, and Moises being a big part of this club, barring a trade? In the sense that, again, getting young players in at a cost control is how you want to do things?
I think both those guys are really good young hitters, for sure. I think that they have really bright futures. Exactly when and how that happens, I'm not sure. But, I think one of the things I'm most proud of this team is, I think, when you look at our production, look at the players, I think from a recent standpoint, you're talking about, Pete coming up and developing and producing. You're talking about Cade having a great year. Matt Shaw had a great second half. But even, even Nico, I think we've, he played his best baseball in the second half, but we've seen, the time has taken, to get there. He's a homegrown player. I mean, that's the lifeblood of baseball today. You have to have, good young players. I think those are the guys that have real upside that can surprise you and have, great years even beyond projections. And so I consider, Moises and Owen in that group. And I think, like I said, I think their futures are really bright.
Second question was about the bullpen. After watching San Diego, and you beat them, and Milwaukee, do you need to modernize it with velocity? Do you need to have, especially when you get to the playoffs, to win 3 to 4 rounds, do you need to have basically what the Brewers' bullpen was made up of in terms of flamethrowers?
Yeah. Both those bullpens are... Those are two of the best bullpens in baseball, for sure. And, it was intimidating watching Mason Miller warm up at times in the postseason. Our bullpen was really good. I thought I give our pro acquisitions group a lot of credit. I give our coaches a lot of credit for we had a good bullpen all year with, Brad Keller was a minor league free agent. And, the other guys, Drew Pomeranz was acquired on an assignment clause. And those guys did an amazing job. Certainly that's something that you take notice of, no question. And something, like I said before, defining pitching, developing pitching is something that it never stops, and we have to continue to look at, because, there's no question that those bullpens are really good. But I would also add that our bullpen was really good as well, and that's something we just have to continue to focus on. And bullpens are volatile. There's no guarantees year to year what, exactly how they're going to perform, but you just have to continue to be vigilant. You have to continue to, find guys in every single area. And I think I'm confident that our pitching group will get the most out of guys.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
You're listening to the Jed Hoyer end of season press conference on 670 The Score. It is brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers.
Sense of what Kyle Tucker wants, as a free agent for the rest of his career.
I think Kyle, I think he's he had a good experience here for sure. I think that certainly, I think, enjoyed playing in Chicago, and I think that our Wrigley and our fans made a huge impact. But ultimately, I think Kyle has a big decision. I think that he's earned the right to not only be a free agent, but to be a coveted free agent. And so, I would expect that they'll play their cards kind of close to the vest. But I know he had a good experience. And I know that when we were sort of at our best, he played exceptionally well.
Just one quick follow-up. With the CBA expiring after 2026, how does that impact maybe thinking about long-term, long-range investments?
Yeah. Well, obviously, I think that's been some part of our decision-making. I think we've talked about that a lot. If you look at our contract structures, as we get closer to the end of the CBA, is that conversation probably gets louder and louder as far as, how that goes. But the truth of the matter is we don't know what the future holds in that regard. And certainly those decisions are going to happen, well above me, and those conversations will happen for a long time. So I think you can pay attention to it. I think it's something that you have to consider, but I also we don't know what's going to happen, and there's real uncertainty there for us and for 29 other teams.
John?
Jed, I know, you know, when it comes to playoffs, like the share of ticket revenue isn't great in the early rounds of the playoffs, but you guys had five home playoff games, and there's, you know, I walked around, there's a lot of revenue being generated, a lot of beers being sold. Do you think that's going to result in like kind of an immediate, have you talked about it, or even immediate spike in the baseball budget for this offseason so you don't have to worry at the deadline about dealing prospects away?
Yeah, I mean, certainly, yeah, the crowds and the energy was amazing, and I think that it was really nice to be able to play five home playoff games. I wish we could have played a lot more, but it was nice to play five home playoff games for these fans. I feel like they deserve it always, but even more this year. I just think the way they responded to this team was great. As far as the budget stuff, you know, I haven't had those conversations yet. I think we'll sit down over the next 2 or 3 weeks and go through that. But yeah, I'm confident that we're going to have enough money to field a good team. I think that's the simplest thing I'll say. But as far as details, I don't know yet.
Maybe a Kyle Schwarber would get more home playoff. That's how you could present it.
Yes. Obviously, you can lean into your defense with your pitch with how you build your pitching staff. But is it a priority to get more strikeouts in the starting rotation in particular?
Yeah, there's no question. I think we talked at the beginning about like what I'll think back on 2025. I think like one of the main things I will think back on is our defense. I do think it's sort of the backbone of what we do, and you know, sometimes it doesn't get enough attention. You know, we focus on the pitching or focus on hitting, and it's like, you know, we have exceptional fielders in a lot of different places, and that certainly helps. But all that said, when the ball's not in play, it's better than when it's in play, you know, by definition. So yeah, I think you're always looking for stuff and strikeouts. We'll continue to push that. But I also will say, like, it's nice to know that we can. I think the combination of our pitching infrastructure and the combination of our defense, I think we can get the most out of a lot of pitchers, because I do feel like we make plays. And I think that shows up almost every night.
What a mic in the middle.
Hey, Jed. You know, one of the issues in the playoffs was, you know, five of your regulars hit below 200. You've had 2 years in a row where there's been long lulls of offense during the regular season. Like, since there's no obvious answers to fixing hitting, and so when do you guys get in a room and figure out how do we get better for next year? How do you even start to approach that, the hitting side?
Well, I think taking that as two separate things. I think that if I'm sitting here in a press conference in 2026 and we're talking about having the fifth most runs in baseball, and we're talking about that in a pitcher's park, like I'll take that all day long. So I think that our overall hitting performance, I'm all in on that. I think that part is terrific. I do think that there's no doubt, like, we've had some ups and downs. I don't know if we're actually any more extreme than other teams. We've looked at that. I think that as a team in general, we were unbelievably consistent all year. The offense, you know, when the offense was really good, our pitching wasn't quite as good, and they kind of balanced each other out over the course of the year. But we did have some big lulls. I will say that, you know, the postseason, it's hard to hit, especially in the early series when everyone's bullpenning all the time. And so, like I said, I think our overall production, I think, is like fourth or fifth in among the playoff teams. We did have some guys that struggled, but I think overall, I just think, you know, the early rounds when it's all bullpen games and no one's getting any matchups, I think is difficult to hit. And you know, we gave up three or fewer runs in six of the eight games in the postseason, so we kind of matched that, but. You know, I think it's hard to hit in the postseason. You've got to be able to win the games in a lot of different ways. It's hard to just come into early round postseason series and think you're going to score a ton of runs. And I think that we're able to win some games without scoring a lot of runs. And I think that's really a formula you have to have in the early rounds. I think as the rounds go deeper, I think that the way people use pitching will change a little bit. But in general, I think our offense is really good. And we'll just continue to have meetings and talk through, are there ways that we can potentially reduce some of the ups and downs? But I think that's pretty difficult.
We'll go to Bruce and then Maddie.
Talking to Cody Bellinger in September, he said that his experience here in Chicago was one of the best that he's ever had. And him and his wife loved it here. So knowing the free agent, he's going to be a free agent again. I know you can't directly address him, but might a player who had been here before be of interest to you again, you know, knowing the unknown with Tucker?
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of Cody. Just in general, I think our players have really good experiences, which is a huge selling point. I think that we treat our players really well. I think everything is sort of is done first class, and I think that word of mouth is really helpful. So I know he had a great experience, but I expect that. I expect that our players are going to have that experience because, you know, not only the coaching staff, but, you know, the city, the fans, and then I also just think the way we our support staff, like, that's our goal, is to have people feel that way. So I'm glad Cody feels that way, but I think a lot of guys do too, and I think that's something that we pride ourselves on.
Maddie?
You touched on coaching staff at the top, but just how would you evaluate what Council did this year, and does it feel like he was able to kind of implement more of his vision than in year one?
Yeah, I thought Craig had a terrific year. I think that you know, in particular, like, one thing I would focus on, I just thought his use of the bullpen was excellent. You know, he did a really good job not pushing those guys too hard, and that's a difficult thing to do. You know, we play a lot of close games, we're in a lot of games, and, you know, whenever I would look during the course of the year, we'd have no one in the top 20 in appearances in baseball. So he didn't push those guys too hard, and I think that takes real experience to know the length of the season. You know, you're not, like, you're trying to win every game, but you're not trying to win every game at all costs. And I think that's a really difficult thing to do. You have to be willing to trust all eight guys down there, and he I thought he did just A-plus job of that. And I know the bullpen guys all expressed that too, like, in the exit meetings. Just, they knew he was taking care of them. He knew he was getting them the right matchups, and I thought he did an A-plus job with that. Our hope is that we retain our coaching staff. I thought they were terrific. I think, as I said before, I thought they were really well prepared, and we have a really diligent player group, so I think the combination of those two things was really good. But just every day, knowing that they're trying to find the little edges that may win a game, you know, whether that's a base running thing, whether that's a tip on a pitcher, any of those things that you're looking for, I thought those guys never, the whole year, they never slowed down in doing that. And I know Craig was thrilled with the coaching staff this year, and we all were. And I think it was a really good year in that regard.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
You're listening to the Jed Hoyer end of season press conference on Raheem Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. It is brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers.
And then, just what was it like to see, after 30 odd innings last year, what he did this year and to put himself in that Rookie of the Year race?
Yeah, you know, he was in a good position. He was gonna be on the roster if we won on Saturday. You know, he would have been on this next roster. He wouldn't have been stretched out to probably pitch more than a couple innings, but I certainly, that was our plan, was to be able to use him. He was throwing bullpens by the end, and so the expectation is that he has a totally normal off season. He may rest it a bit now to, like, let that rib continue to heal. But he was exceptional, and, you know, he wanted to pitch so badly. I think that was one of the hardest parts of that whole situation, was that he tried, you know, he really did. He tried to push through it, and we just realized there was no way to do it. He was incredible in the second half. I just felt like, start to start, you know, watching him evolve as a pitcher, He picked up new things. I mean, he's the changeup was sort of a new pitch when we got him, and he developed that really well. He started using a two-seamer more. Obviously, he pounds the zone and is super efficient. His second half was exceptional, and he put himself in the in the conversation to be Rookie of the Year. Given how much of a competitor he is, I was sad for him that he didn't get a pitch in the postseason. And I know that's going to be his number one goal going forward. But just a great development year. Great job by Cade. Great job by the coaching staff with him. And just excited for things going forward. And I expect he'll have a completely normal offseason.
Jed, you touched a little bit on PCA, but what do you make of his offensive campaign, especially in the second half? Like, what did you see from the struggles that maybe he can correct going into next season?
Yeah. I mean, he had, in totality, a great year, going 30-30 and driving in almost 100 runs. And, obviously the shape of that year, and I think he was so good early on, and then he struggled. And this is his first full season, and that's something I – talked to Pete a lot about during the course of the year, that this is the first time he's gone through the entire season. He obviously plays really hard, and is kind of the backbone of our defense, and so there could have been some fatigue there that set in. And I do think that going forward, I think he's gonna have to shrink his strike zone, and he's gonna have to focus on those things, but I think he will. He's still 23 years old. He's still learning. So I expect him to just kind of keep getting better and better. It may be gradual. It may come all at once, but I have no question that it'll continue to get better. And the one thing with Pete that I always focus on is, when he's not hitting or when he's struggling offensively, he's a great player. And when he's hitting, he's a superstar, because what he does defensively night in, night out is unbelievable. I think he's the best defensive player in baseball. And, the number of catches he makes head high that other teams' center fielders don't get to is remarkable. And he had a huge role on our team offensively, but I think when you think about our run prevention, he's right there at the top of it.
We'll go Megan and then Jesse.
Matt Shaw, obviously, his defensive growth from spring training to the end of the season was pretty remarkable. Just how you evaluate him, in totality, especially the offensive side of things. Did you see enough to feel comfortable with where you're at third base wise going into the offseason, or is it an area you feel like, especially on the offensive production side, you guys will need to consider upgrading?
I thought he had, overall, I think he had a really good season. The shape of that season, I think, he played well early on after the injury in spring training, and then obviously struggled. We sent him down, brought him back up, and I think when you look at what he did in the second half, it was really impressive. I think that the most recent thing we just saw was the postseason, and he struggled a bit, but I think, as I said earlier, I think focusing on those eight games and knowing that the kind of stuff and velocity he was facing every single night, I think that when you're in the postseason, there are guys that are locked in and they feel great about everything offensively that perform really well. But I think if you're struggling with anything and then you're facing the kind of stuff that he was facing, I think it was a challenge for him. But overall, in totality, I thought he had a really good season to build on. I think he proved himself that he can hit in the big leagues with a really good second half. I think he had 11 homers in the second half. And I think defensively, he really candidly surprised us. I think that was, an area that we didn't know how it was going to go for him. He was playing largely a new position, and he's doing it in the big leagues, and he was exceptional. I think his defense was fantastic. I think when you look at the numbers on his defense, it bears that out, and he was a big part of our run prevention as well. So I think in aggregate, I think Matt had a really good year, and it's something to build on, but he's going to be a really good Cub for a long time.
Jesse,
I'm first.
Yeah, Jesse, let's see. Sorry.
Circling back on a couple things, and I know person in your position doesn't always say it, but talk about payroll increases, decreases. In general, would you say it's likely to be similar kind of payroll situation? Sometimes you can give a fan's idea.
I won't even speculate on it. Okay. Yeah, but like I said, I haven't even had meetings about it yet. Okay. But I will, and you guys are probably asking me that at the GM meetings, and I'll have probably better sense.
Got it. Pulling back, and basically, you've kind of said it, but the Brewers are on a heck of a run here, almost a decade. They stumbled once, I think, in 21. Do you think this is the door opening to start at least that? No one knows what can happen in October, but to be able to say 90 wins is kind of the floor in a lot of ways, year in and year out, other than that occasional stump.
Yeah, I think that has to be the goal. I think we talked about that. We sat here a year ago and talked about, building teams, 90-win teams, and we did that. And I think expecting the Brewers, to go away, I think is, they're a really good organization. They're on a really good run. And I think we have to expect that they're going to be, here. And I think that's good for us. I think it's good to, we need to, constantly raise our level and get to that point where we can do that year in, year out. I think if we consistently win, 92 games and sort of get in the postseason, I think that's when good things happen. So, we have a really good foundation to build from, and we just need to continue to focus on making good decisions and building from that foundation.
Go Steve and then Sahada.
Jed, this is a big picture question in that same broad vein. And especially just given the timing of you moving into your second term, so to speak, post-extension. It's about identity. The Dodgers are kind of a world apart, and everybody knows it. The Brewers seem to have a really strong identity. And some other organizations have gone for the jugular and it worked to varying sure. degrees. Who are the Cubs in this picture in the National League? What do you want them to be? And, what's their place in the world?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. I think when I think about the number one area that I think you'd probably focus on that probably sets us apart right now is our defense. I think we're a exceptional defensive team. I think that we, we play really good defense. We play really clean baseball. We threw a ton of strikes this year. So I think that, defensively, like my hope is that going forward, we continue to build teams that way. I think it's a really consistent way to build a team, and it's a really clean brand of baseball. I think as far as identity, it's just, like I said, we have a good foundation, continue to make good decisions, and continue to every year I want to, build something we is consistent, and then that when you pay for your season tickets at the beginning of the year, when you're going to a game that you're going to see a really clean, good brand of baseball, and that you're going to see a really competitive team. I think beyond that, I think things change. I think that, what I don't want to do is to pigeonhole an organization and say we're going to build this kind of offense or this kind of pitching staff. I mean, the goal here is to, going to Jesse's question, the goal here is to have a foundation and build so that every single year your projections and your win totals, put you in the tournament. And I think from there, good things happen. If a good opportunity comes to get a player that may not be part of an identity, I think it's a mistake to overlook that. So I don't ever want to be so pigeonholed that you miss opportunities because, this game, there's a lot of good players in this game and a lot of good players, a lot of good different skill sets. And I think it's important to value all of them appropriately. But I want our identity to be a consistently really good team, create teams that the fans identify with the way they did this year. And I think if we do that year in, year out, I think we'll be in really good shape. And hopefully we can, continue to move this press conference back a little bit every year, and I think that would be the goal.
You're listening to the Jed Hoyer End of Season Press Conference. It is brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. It is on 670 The Score, and the audio is provided by Marquee Sports Network.
Internal development and youth, or would it be imperative to add an established starting caliber position player or DH?
I think that it's probably a more specific question. I mean, than I would answer. I mean, I think that clearly Kyle had a huge impact on our offense this year, and so if he's not here, then that's a void, and we have to figure out how to replace that. But there's a lot of different ways to do that, and so I think that'll be the focus. But yes, I think that there's no question that if you don't retain a player of his caliber, then you have to replace those wins and, you know, that war in some other ways. And I think that's something we'll be really focused on. But I don't, how you do that, I think, can take many different shapes and forms.
Mike, right here.
When you head into the offseason with Tucker, do you go in with, like, this is our plan, this is our budget, or do you have to kind of sit back and take the temperature of the league? And because obviously a big factor is going to be whether there are other teams that are coming after him hard or not.
Yeah. I think not connected to Kyle, is in general, I think that, you know, you have to evaluate. You have to start the whole everything that we do with an evaluation of the player and, like, focus on that valuation, and then what's that worth to the organization. I think that's the backbone. I think that in my career, I think when you make decisions that are based on your valuation and how you value the player, then it sort of takes some of that the other stuff out of it, and you make better decisions. I think if you're reacting to how things are going around you, I think that's when you can make real mistakes. So to me, it's just, that's going to be our focus, is, you know, how do we value, and it's not just Kyle, it's any player, like, what's the valuation we put on this player? How much is he worth to this organization right now? And I think that if you do that consistently, I think you end up, like I said, making more and more good decisions, and the more good decisions we make, the more it's additive.
We'll go Bruce and then Patrick.
Jed, other than pre-ARB and players, I think one player, beyond that, you don't have anybody under contract past next year. Does that concern you? Is that by design? How organization-wise are you looking at that? We understand what's December 26th can look like, but where is that big picture for you?
I mean, there's an element that's by design, for sure. I think that you've seen, like, the way we've structuralized contracts, I think, has been shorter, and I think that's been by design. With that, I think it comes opportunity, that, you know, we have opportunity to use those dollars really wisely to continue to get better. So I don't look at it as a cause for concern. I try to look at it as an opportunity that, we have available dollars in the future that we haven't committed yet, and we just need to continue to commit those dollars wisely as we do commit them.
Time for about three or four more. We'll go Patrick and then Jordan and then
Jed, just two quick clarifications. When you say the hope is to retain Craig's staff, does that mean everyone's invited back, but maybe they'd have an opportunity elsewhere for better job?
Yeah, I mean, I think some of it's been public already, but I expect that people are going to ask permission on for various jobs as they should, and you never want to lose anyone, but you also want people to be able to continue to advance. We may not have those roles available, so everyone's going to be asked back, and they know that, and then the question is just simply, like, we might not have the exact staff if someone gets an opportunity elsewhere that's, like I said, an opportunity that we can't match.
And the other thing, I think last year kind of came out, like, Nico and Dansby had surgeries. Like, as you're heading into the offseason now, doing your debriefs, is there anything similar like that popping up as you're doing things?
We have a medical meeting at 1, actually, so I'll have a better feel for that. Those were pretty high profile, and I sort of knew about those at this point, so I don't expect anything quite that high profile, but there may well be some surgeries that come out of it, or recommended surgeries or second opinions, and I can, we can get you that information later.
Jim, one of the things we heard from the guys, especially after the season ended, was how special they thought this group was. As you chatted with them through, like, exit interviews, what kind of takeaways did you get about what made this group so special? And also, how do you maybe replicate that for next year?
Yeah, it was remarkable, like, how many guys talked about that. I think this group really came together exceptionally well. Whether part of that is starting the season with a, week-long trip with everyone's families to Tokyo, and it kind of started that process earlier or not. I think that regardless of how it happened, this was a very close group. I think they really enjoyed each other's company, and I think it was just a lot of guys that are really good teammates. I think the way I would answer that is, like, if we brought back the exact same group of players next year, it wouldn't
have this. It wouldn't be the same. It can't be the same. Like that's the. And I think that's one of the things that the players were talking about in sadness when it ended on Saturday, which is you don't want it to end because you know that like this feeling is going to be gone. And now starting whenever we get to spring training, it's about building that up again. And so that's just something I've learned in my career over and over. I'm really glad that this year was a special chemistry, but you can't bottle that up and bring it into next year. Like it's, you have to go, you know, start that from day one and build that up again, because people are in different, you know, places in our career in terms of, you know, contracts or different places in their lives. Things happen differently. And so, you know, I think it's actually one of the fun parts of the job in a way is like, okay, like I think you want to replicate the feeling, but it's not going to be done with the same people or same emotions. And I think that's what we have to focus on is how do we build that? I do think you have a better chance to build that if you have consistency in your coaching staff and some consistency in that room. I don't think you can, you know, if you, theoretically you're not going to turn over that many people and have the same feeling. So we'll start working on it the first day of spring training. But I was really, like I said, I was really proud of the way that group came together. They really cared about each other. They really worked hard together. And it was a really special group.
We'll take one more from Steve.
Thanks. I wonder how much you're going to love this, but I'm just not accustomed to seeing you be like sentimental. And I just wonder if maybe last week, you know, the experience of being here in this building in the playoffs, how it made you feel, if you felt a level of connection or something, sentiment that you hadn't experienced before.
You're saying I'm unsentimental, huh?
Well,
Yeah, I guess I would say I did feel like I felt like our crowds in the playoffs, they were unbelievably impressive, and I feel like it didn't sort of come out of nowhere. It was sort of like it felt like sort of a natural build of the way the season was. That, you know, going back to kind of April and May, like wow, these unbelievable crowds and people were really into it. And then I just felt like, you know, against the Padres and the two home games we had here, it was pretty amazing. I don't ever remember players commenting on the crowds and the experience right after games the way they did repeatedly. I'd come down here after games and the players would be talking about the energy or talking about the experience, and that was really cool. It was really cool to see, and you know, it leaves you wanting more, right? I think that. To me, when I go back to the very beginning of this press conference, talking about like the disappointment of losing, I think the disappointment in some ways is like not being able to continue to have more of that, right? And in some ways, it was pretty intoxicating just how great Wrigley was during the postseason. I think that if you want to call it sentimental, I think that, you know, I don't think we'd had feelings like that in the building since like 15 and 16 in a lot of ways. And, you know, it makes you want to work that much harder this winter. It makes you want to, you know, get in earlier. It makes you want to, you know, make that much better decisions because you just, you know, you want to keep experiencing that because it was really cool. And it's where this building is really special. And our fan base is really special. And, you know, it's really cool to work for the Cubs. It's really cool to play for the Cubs. And, you know, I feel really fortunate to do it every day. And hopefully we get to do it every day. And hopefully we can continue to make really good decisions and continue to play more games like that, because that was a pretty awesome experience.
Thank you, Jed. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, guys.
That was Jed Hoyer, his end of season press conference. It started at about 11 o'clock and it went, I'd say 51 minutes and 30 seconds or so. He answered questions. So now we get to react. It was brought to you, by the way, by your local Hyundai dealers. Marquee Sports Network provided the audio. This is Raheem Harrison Grody on 670 The Score.
Yeah. And then taking in everything that he said, there's a lot there, right? But the things that I picked up on that really stood out to me, and I'm not saying in a negative or a positive way, but he talked about the offense almost in unapologetic fashion about how they were good enough. And not only that, he was proud of the team as a whole, but offensively specifically, he made no bones about it. he believes in what happened.
Yeah, and I understand why he wants to justify that decision. I think one of our texters said if they heard the word totality another time, they create a drinking game, but it might end dangerously. I understand why he said that. But even I was able to show you with quick, simple stats what the difference was between the Cubs being fifth in runs scored versus 11th in hits produced. And the Brewers were third in runs scored in baseball and third in hits produced. That lets you know. That lets you know that the standard bearer of your division and the National League record at 97 wins, that's where you see the difference. Like, that's not hard. I know part of the job is to stand on business when you did produce a playoff team for the first time in 5 years, and you did get to the NLDS, and you did lose in five. But the standard was set by your predecessor and you. And so there's a reason we're talking about it in the way we do. It's a good thing. It's even better when the standard is met by action. And that's where we sit now. We're going to react to this. We want to know what you think as well. We have much more to come on the heels of the Jed Hoyer end of season press conference. Five on it is next. And yes, it will be a big part of our show. This is Raheemy Harris and Grody on 670 The Score.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.